Okay. Amen. Well, yes, well, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that she was able to come back. That's kind of neat. So, shortly after marriage, that's a neat thing. So, all right. Anyone else? Yes, Andrew. Okay. All right. So is that the last surgery he'll have to have right this moment? Yes, okay, if it goes well. Okay. So we're praying for Amber's dad, and his surgery went well. So we praise the Lord for that. Good. All right. Yes, sir.
We leave Saturday for Texarkana, Beaumont, and other places. So
okay.
I'll be gone about 3.5 weeks for this trip, 2 fairs, and speaking at some churches and doing some training. So please keep us in prayer. And pray for Kathy's brother, Tony Rolando. His heart condition, had heart failure. They took fluid off and he's out of the hospital, but looking for a cardiologist. And
been praying for one that's a godly one.
Okay, all right.
That just happened this last
week. Okay, so. So pray for Kathy's brother, Tony.
He just turned 71 just a couple of days ago.
Okay, 71. Must be an older brother. So.
Yeah, well, there's 12 of us.
So okay.
I'm second to the youngest.
Okay. So. All right. No, 71. That's young. That's a new, it's a new 40. Okay, on Thursday. All right, so let's pray for Melody Fortenberry. Thank you so much for keeping us informed on them. And so she's having cataract surgery. So that will go well this Thursday. All right, yes, sir. Amen. Amen. You guys are of one heart and one mind. So hey, that is a praise right there. When husband comes in and says the same praise and prayer request as his wife, I tell you, they're on the same page. That's what we all want to be right there. So. It's good. It's good. Yes, Ernie. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, yes. Wow. Okay. Okay, wow. So, yes. Yes, praise the Lord. That is good. And it was pretty, it was kind of weird. I've never quite seen so much dust or smoke in the air on Friday. That was crazy. So. Oh, yes, Andrew? Okay. All right, we'll be in prayer for Josh. And for Abigail not feeling well, and then also be in prayer for Becky, that she's not feeling well today either. So, yes, sir.
So my brother Nelson messed up his neck, got a herniated disc in his neck, and he's got to wear a neck brace for like at least 3 weeks, and he can't hardly do anything, can't hardly drive, can't walk, he's like.
Oh, is he in a lot of pain or?
Yes, a lot of pain.
Okay, wow, that's.
They say he'll recover if he, you know, this therapy sick day, so he got 3 weeks of sick pay, so he's thinking.
Okay. All right, let's pray for Nelson.
It was Lance who did, not God.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. No. All right. We'll pray for Nelson and with the, in a neck brace that he'll be able to keep himself from damaging that any further. And so that's good. So, all right. Yes, Andrew? Okay, yeah, all right, so let's pray for little Charity. She had fallen and broken her clavicle bone, and so thankfully no surgeries needed, but in a brace, that doesn't sound like any fun. So. Oh, okay, well, that's nice. Oh, good. Very good. Yes, sir, Matt. Yes, yeah. Okay. Very. So we've got a fish on the line, huh? So, so all right. So praise the Lord for the opportunity there and the Bible study to the exchange. And so we'll be in prayer for this couple that the Lord will help them illuminate their minds, see the truth. As they, so that is exciting. That's good. Very good. Yeah, continue to pray for the outreach in terms of jail. Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, all those nights are someone's in the jail in those evenings. So that's a blessing. And then also pray for the KRI outreach. This Saturday we go back in. And this past Saturday, we're now at every other week, so that's nice. And so we kind of have a rhythm. Plan, and if you're signed up for that, hang on, because we're going to get you involved here soon. And they have us in three groups, and so they have teen girls, young kids, and then teen boys. And so none of the teen boys came this past time for what exactly reason we're not exactly sure, but so just be in prayer that the Lord would open up those doors and allow those to come who need to hear. So Okay. Okay. Wow. All right. We'll pray for your safety this week. Allow you to get back so you can have that Bible study. So, good. All right. Yes, sir. Tom? Okay. All right. I'm sure there's others, but I appreciate it. We'll pray for that. And you know, it's kind of neat to here every once in a while. Sometimes someone tells me personally, sometimes it's a testimony here that prayer for a specific unspoken, and then God answered that prayer. And that's really neat. So, yeah. Yes, Charlotte? Okay. All right, yes. We will continue to pray for Charlotte and for her children, for their health and needs there that are ongoing. So, yes, and for the Lord's protection upon you. So. Yes, Angel? Yes, all right. Yeah, let's pray for the Hendersons, for Dakota and Krista. We can pray for Lance and Shannon. I know that they're going through pretty hectic, busy time for them, and they need the strength of the Lord, so pray for them as well. So, all right, yes, sir, Doug.
Remember Andrew, there was was here last week from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he did leave Monday for
Iowa. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe I'd get a call.
No, I didn't get any word from him, so. Yeah, let's pray for Andrew. He was a man that we ministered to in the jail, came on Sunday and was here all day, and appreciate all those that reached out to him and showed the love of the Lord to him. And he was, he said if he'd live down here, he'd want to come. So anyway, it's just neat. There's an aspect of the Lord's love is here, and he wants to experience that. So he needs to get married, and or he's got a girlfriend. So anyway, there's just a lot of Satan's got a lot of traps for someone coming out, and someone often has a lot of needs, and the people that are most willing to help them can be the people that want to use them and lead them back into sin. So pray for the Lord's protection upon Andrew this week. So. All right. Yes, sir, Charles. Okay, all right. The Lord will give you guys some wisdom for decisions. All right, the Lord's with you. All right, anyone else to add to these? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So Roger just thanking everyone who's been participating and helping with Becky and the whole situation there. So appreciate that. Okay. All right. So if you're on the ladies chat, a list was placed there for Becky. So if you're interested or talk to the Geyers, we'd like to help meet some of her needs. No, we're planning a baby shower some point here for her, so we'll do that. Okay. Anyone else? Add to these. Okay. Oh, we did? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. So we'll be in prayer for the Lord. Work all this together for good and protect them. So, okay. All right. Anyone else? All right. If not, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles and we'll read probably two more times. We'll read 15, starting in verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Romans 15. All right. Anyone need more time? Okay. So we have been looking at this, I would say, a portion of Scripture that I am not as familiar with, but am enjoying becoming more and more familiar with it as we study it together. And hopefully impressed upon our minds, we have the whole purpose of missions, the whole purpose of ministry in our church here is to bring glory to God. So that the Gentiles would praise Him. And so that's the whole thrust of every ministry that we have, is that we might bring glory to God in our church by leading people to Christ and strengthening them and causing our lives and our fellowship to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring Him glory. So this just kind of puts everything into a nutshell. And we see that the Apostle Paul was a certain kind of missionary. What kind of missionary was he? He had a special gifting, a special calling. Church planting. That's good. He's a pioneer. He wanted to go out there where Jesus Christ had never been heard before. He'd walk into a village and he says, "I want to tell you about Jesus." And they say, "Who's that?" He's like, "I'm right where I'm supposed to be." Every man needs to hear this. And so the Apostle Paul had this burden, had this great desire. And he knew of a whole region, Spain, that Christ hasn't been named there. That's incredible. He was getting reports. Someone must have brought something back to him, or at least the Lord put a burden upon his heart. And he's saying, "I want to get there. I want to go." But we've seen that the Apostle Paul has some trips, and so he's laying out his itinerary, and so he's this plan and what he wants to do is all in conjunction with this overarching plan that he has. So he's going to come to Rome so he can strengthen them, and they can refresh him, and they can help him on the way. And we see that in verse 24. "I trust to see you on my journey and to be brought on my way thither by you." So he says, "I want you to be so excited and filled with this desire that you can participate and help me and participate in my ministry to the next region." So just like Antioch was a hub that would send him out into this other region, he would like to see the Roman church send him out to Spain. And again, I'm marveled at him starting this ministry in his retirement. You know, in his boom. This is just the ambition that he had and the desire to be used of the Lord. But as much as important as people never hearing the gospel, he had to do something even before he could come to Rome. And what was that? He had to go to Jerusalem. And we see that in verse 25. "Now I go unto the Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." What's he talking about? Why did the Apostle Paul need to go to Jerusalem? Very good. Excellent. So you guys are reading through that passage and you're understanding what's going on there. He says, "We took up an offering. And we want to make sure that this money gets to that place." And he says, "The Apostle Paul, send somebody else." It's not that simple. Because what we understand in terms of this area of financial contribution, that there's something bigger going on than just an exchange of money. And that's what's driving the Apostle Paul. And we see this here. What's he say? "For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. For it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come unto you into Spain." So there's an element of the Apostle Paul felt like he personally had to be there when this gift was given over to these in the Jerusalem. So we need to understand exactly what was in the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul that made him have this desire. We have to understand that the believers in Jerusalem, they had experienced persecution. Early on, the first believers to experience persecution, Saul himself knew that because he was the persecutor. And so these people had to flee, they had to run, and so that they were just, it would be an aspect of living in a Muslim country today. You have no freedom. If you profess Christ and you're baptized, that's just the reality of that aspect. And the same thing is true. I'm reading a book right now about Amy Carmichael, and that was very true in India. If someone was to be baptized, they would likely be killed by their own family. And she just tells story after story of terrible things where, it shocks me. It absolutely shocks me that you're most likely to be killed by your own family members. And that's true in the Muslim world. They call it honor killing. If you do something outside of this, we will enforce this to the death, and we will kill you. And it can be in the most horrific type ways, and it's condoned. So it is demonic. It is oppressive against the truth of God and against His gospel. And so these people were in that kind of situation. They were persecuted, and on top of that, there was a famine. So you're on the run, or you're on this aspect, or maybe your things have been confiscated, or you've lost your job, or you've been ostracized, and now there's this famine that's come across, and everybody is in a hardship, and especially the believers. We see this in Acts 11:28, where it says, "There was one named Agabus, signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." So there's this aspect, this famine came, and it just hit them so hard. And so the Apostle Paul was commanded by the church in Jerusalem. When he came in Acts 15, they met, and this was very, very, and this is part of what everything's kind of coming together to this. I think it all weaves together. He came in Acts 15 back to Jerusalem. Why was he there in Acts 15? Anybody remember? There's a controversy. What was the controversy over? Circumcision. That's right. So what's the significance of circumcision? Who was arguing, and who was supposed to be circumcised? Yes. So there was this element that says they've got to become circumcised to become a part of the people of God. And ultimately what that meant, and the fundamental truth of that, was circumcision was a symbol that I am now trying to keep the law. And the Apostle Paul has argued in Romans that the law does not bring someone into right standing with God. In fact, the law only magnifies your transgression and heaps to you the wrath of God. It is not the solution to our problem. And so what the things were in the balance there, but it was in the balance of the Lord. And he, leading his church through James and through the brethren there, they heard the Apostle Paul, and they understood that he was preaching the gospel by grace, by faith, and that was the same gospel they were preaching to the Jews. And there was an understanding. No, the Gentiles don't have to become Jews. They don't have to submit to the law. We're saved like they're saved. But they give them some instruction in that meeting. The Apostle Paul, go forth with your blessing. Keep preaching this gospel. But we need to make sure that don't have them eat things that are offered, sacrificed to idols, and things that are strangled, and abstain from fornication. And one of the things he was commanded in Galatians 2:20 tells us this. He says, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do." He says, "I was very earnest about this. When every place that I was going in terms of the Gentiles, I was telling them about the poor believers in Jerusalem and the need for that." So this is what the Apostle Paul was doing. So let's now, when he says here that it was pleased of Macedonia and Achaia, it's let's see here. What's the first couple? I want to explain. He says to make Here was partakers. Where's the word partakers? I'm looking for that word. I don't have a verse reference beside it. 27. Yes, if the Gentiles are made partakers of their spiritual things. That word partaker is the word for fellowship. The idea you now are participating, you now are sharing in these spiritual things, the spiritual realities that God has given. And so he's talking about this fellowship that they have, and the word for contribution is related to this. They want to fellowship in, they want to share of their material things because they're sharing in the spiritual aspect here. And it says that this was not forced upon them. This was all voluntary. These Gentile believers, it says it pleased them, verse 27, and pleased them in verse 26. So it makes an emphasis to say, this was their desire. There was no compulsion placed upon them. You must do this, except for moral compulsion. It says, and their debtors they are. You really do owe them a lot because of what God has used the gospel through the Jewish people to minister to us. You know, I don't understand any Christian mindset that has a negative, antithetical relationship to the Jews. Now, I know that they're in sin, and I know that grieves God's heart. And we have a verse of Scripture in Romans that says, concerning the gospel, they are what? They're enemies. I mean, they're going to fight you tooth and nail. Luther experienced that. He went and brought the gospel to them, and he was very earnest about them. And they rejected tooth and nail, and they were enmity between him. You know what response he had? He responded so poorly to that, that he said some of the most anti-Semitic things. It's one of the most embarrassing aspects, and that's partly what Hitler used in Germany based on the background of Lutheranism. So it's kind of you're not trying to besmirch him. Every man's feet is made of clay, all right? And that's just the reality of it. God used him in a mighty way to get the gospel into that region. So I thank the Lord for him. At the same time, you can also thank the Lord and recognize that there were some things that went wrong there. And just the reality is, it's just an illustration of what believers have experienced, that they are enemies. They will fight you. And it can be, but at the same time, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And so we ought to have that heart for them, that God is going to, I believe God's going to bring them back, as Romans 11 talks about. And so Gentiles ought to have a certain mindset towards the Jewish people. Let's just look through this. Let's see the Apostle Paul in his letters. He talks about these contributions that he makes. We can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. So he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says in verse 1 here, this is at the end of the book, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So now we know that he's done this to the Galatians. He's speaking about this to the Corinthians. We're going to find out about the Macedonians he's already mentioned and those in Achaia. He says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." He says, when I come, I don't want to have a big fundraiser. I just want you guys to handle this ahead of time. This is what I'm coming. A part of my purpose of coming to you is to take this collection. And he saw this as a main aspect of his ministry, which is very interesting. We're going to look at why that is. And he says, "When I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." You say, wait a second. I thought the Apostle Paul had to go. Yeah, he does. I believe, based on this verse of Scripture, what was happening was a whole conglomeration of men were going. A man from Corinth, a man from a church in Galatia, a man from Thessalonica. He was gathering people, and he says, now you, I'm not going to come in. And so you see the church governance here? You choose out. Now, and he says, you need to have a letter. Why do you need to have a letter? You're dealing with money. And there needs to be an authorization about what's going on with this. So he needs to. So it needs to be in writing. This needs to be above board, honest to all men. He says, I want to make sure that you have someone who represents you so that no one could ever accuse me that I have taken this money and that you know when this. So he was doing everything so that, because we're talking about a large gift. He wanted there to be no suspicion upon himself. And so in terms of, we see great principles in terms for us is handling money, especially in the church of God. And he says, you know, they will go with me. And so this is very important, so that when he got to Jerusalem, he would say, and here is the gift from Corinth. And a man would step forward, and he probably would look a little different, wouldn't he? He doesn't look like a Jew. He looks like a Gentile. And he'd say, oh, and here's a man from Galatia, and he'd probably look a little different too, and his clothes probably wasn't the same. And they would be seeing the different regions. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if someone came in and they said, we are from Africa, and we brought a delegation. We've heard about your need, and this is our missionary comes back, and he brings back five men from Africa, and he says, here are from five different towns. That would make an impact on us, wouldn't it? Be like, whoa, a representative from each one. So that's taken place. Let's see here. Also, we've already talked about Galatians. And it was mentioned there. He wrote the Galatians, saying that he was very intent on remembering this. 2 Corinthians. So he's writing back in 2 Corinthians. So the same group of people. He's going to talk about the reason for this, and we go over this about on a yearly basis when it comes to faith promise, because I think this is the theological basis for our giving in faith promise. And part of it is, it explains to us why the Apostle Paul was so intent on what he was doing. And you know what it really does for us? It really shows us what the significance of our giving in the offering plate to missions and to the gospel being spread in this city and around. He's going to show to us why it's so important. This is a ministry of missions that must be done. All right, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. We're going to touch on a few things here. Let's read the first four verses. He says, moreover, brethren, we do want you to know, to wit, the idea here, the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. So Macedonia is up in the northern part here. These are the ones that have already given, as the Apostle Paul has mentioned in Romans, that they had taken up an offering there. He says, I want you to know what grace God gave to these people. They were wealthy people, having much, and they just gave abundantly. Is that what he says? No. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They gave so willingly that he was like, that is the grace of God. Nobody does that apart from God's grace. You're being persecuted. You're in affliction. You're in poverty, nay, deep poverty. And you're giving this? God has a blessing. He says, for to their power, yea, I bear record, yea, beyond their power. Beyond what they were even able to do, they were willing of themselves. This is supernatural. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. We want to participate. We want to have a share of the pie. Please do not refuse our gift. We say this today. Don't steal my blessing. I want to do this. Because the Apostle Paul saying, no, 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 no. And they said, yes, please. And so they took it, of course, with the representative. Now, let's look down in verse 16. He says, But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own account, he went unto you. So this is Titus is the one, he said, I'm volunteer. I want to go. I want to help them when I get there to partake of this offering as well. So the Apostle Paul's not coming. He's sending Titus yet ahead. And he says, we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. All right, so they're bringing not only Titus, but they're also bringing another man who everyone was just saying, praise the Lord for this godly testimony of this man, how he had been changed, and he had been chosen through all the churches. He's coming along with him. And you're going to see this man who all these other churches said, "He go with this money. We trust him. He'll be our representative." And so he was going to be an example to them. Let's jump over here to chapter 9, verse 1. And he says, as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous. There we go. I've got a hyphen here, so I'm like, superfluous. There we go. For me to write to you. I don't need to write to you unto this. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal have provoked very many. So the Apostle Paul said, I was going around, you know, I was telling them in Macedonia, the believers in Corinth, they are excited. They are so zealous about this offering. They want to give to these believers too. And he says, for I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. So I've been boasting about you and telling about this wonderful desire you have. I know that you have this desire, but in case they were to show up and you weren't ready. He says, oh, let's go on. He says, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say, and we say not ye. That's so funny. We would be embarrassed. And I don't even mention that you would be embarrassed. Isn't that so funny when someone says, I don't even mention this? And the Apostle Paul does that on several occasions. Because when you say, I don't mention it, you just mentioned it. It's like we're trying to get our son Samuel to say, he says, can you say hi to Mr. Gertz? He says, I can't say Gertz. Okay, he can't say Gertz. Yes, you can. You just did. So that's what's that gets me tickled. He said, lest we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Is this all just about money? Is it all just about getting every, you know, people are wrangling about money? That's what people want. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had a desire. It was going to bless them, but we see the real point of it all when you come to verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. That's the very surface level. That's the thing that we see immediately. And that's the need that needs to be met. If someone just says, oh, glory to God, and doesn't meet the need, that's pretty empty. Needs need to be met. But in the meeting of the physical needs, God, he wanted something much more. He says, not only that, but it is abundant by many thanksgivings unto God. While they experience this blessing of this ministry, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal, generous distribution unto them and to all men. You know what the Apostle Paul understood? Was that when they gave that gift, he wanted the Jewish believers there to say, praise be to God. Do you see the aspect? This was going to answer the great theological rift and divide among the Church of God. Jews and Gentiles. And when these Jews, and I'm not saying anything negative about them, but the potential of that is there, that there would be this rift between them socially and economically and ethnically and religiously. All these things that would be in the tension of the church, when they would experience this overwhelming gift from Gentile believers, they would know that God did this. That those Gentiles truly were redeemed of God and they're a part of the same body. And they've ministered to them. And he says, I want to make sure that when they get there, I can seal this. I've got to be there. This was so important to the Apostle Paul. To delay his plans to Spain. Because the ministration of this gift was going to bring glory to God. You know, some may look at it and say, well, going to bribe our acceptance, going to pay a gift. You know, there's an aspect that could they, because part of what he's going to ask for prayer, he's going to ask that this ministry would be accepted in Jerusalem. Because there is an aspect of how are the believers there going to respond to this gift and this delegation that's coming. Because you say, well, who wouldn't accept money? Yeah, there's an aspect, yeah, pride, or, you know, there's aspects there that could really come into play. He's saying, I'm praying that what will come about from all this is thanksgiving and praise to God. And the Apostle Paul got to see it. Because when they came to Acts, it's interesting. In Acts 24, verse 17, he says, in his trials, looking back, he says, now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. He's explaining this to him, that after many years of collecting this aspect, he came back to the Jewish people, his nation, for the very purpose of bringing these financial offerings. Do you think our participation, our fellowship, in our financial giving in this church to overseas missions is a part of the plan of God in the ministry to reach the pioneers and all this? Can we not see in our hearts and say, praise God, I want to be a part of that. I can be like the Corinthians. I can be like the Galatians. My gifts are the evidence of my faith. Of my trust in God, of my allegiance to Him. It's the outworking of the gospel in my life. And there is a reality that nothing quite speaks like money. We can say, oh yes, they've professed faith in Christ. Oh, they have submitted to the gospel. Oh yes, brother. And here's the financial sacrifice. You go, how does that happen? Who does that apart from the work of God? Yeah. And so this was a big deal. Acts 21, I'm sorry. I built this up. We got to get to the moment when they arrive. He finally arrives, even after all the people were telling him, don't go, you're going to have persecutions. He says, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to both be bound and to give my life. The Lord's will be done, they say in verse 14. And it says, after those days in verse 15, Acts 21, they took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Mission accomplished. God's name be praised. years and years of the Apostle Paul working for that one moment of praise and glory to God. You know what? There's coming a day that we ought to be living for.
Amen.
Years and years of our life being poured into so that when we stand before Him, God would be glorified with our lives. May we use our physical means, our contribution. Let's see that as a participation, a part of missions. All right. Lord bless you guys. Thank you.
To the